Man's hope is not in himself. He may think that a new government with a new platform and new laws enacted will make things better. But alas, only history shows that this is a delusion. Social, political, or religious reformation is tried. But alas, things become worse instead of better. The reason is obvious, dear listener. For the Bible declares, man is basically ruined by sin. What man needs is conversion to God. As with the Thessalonians, they turned to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. As long as man thinks he can do something to obtain what he longs for, that is, peace and happiness and security, he will remain in hopelessness. The Lord Jesus Christ illustrates this for us in the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. A certain lawyer comes to tempt him, asking, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He realized his lack of it. Well, the Lord Jesus takes him up on the basis of his approach and applies to him the law of Moses. And he says, "What does the law say?" Well, the young man realized what the law said. He could repeat it. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." The Lord Jesus responds, "Thou hast answered right. Now this do, and thou shalt live." But you notice the guilty conscience of the young man is only seen in his reply. He totally ignores his responsibility to love God. And he also hedges very weakly as he asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Now it is then that Jesus gives the parable that follows and sets forth man's only hope. A hope that is appointed, a hope that is sure, a hope that has blessing both now and forever. And all this is on behalf of those who do not love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind and might, who do not love their neighbor as herself, who are helpless and hopeless and ruined because of sin. This, dear listener, is what you need to know. And the truth in regards to this is what is known as the gospel. The gospel that tells us of God's ministry and provision of grace to men who are helpless and ruined and who need salvation. First of all, I would ask that you would consider with me this man himself who the Lord brings before us in the parable that goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He went down. It implies a deliberate turning away on his part from the city of God to go to the city of the curse, such as Jericho is. Next, we read that he fell among thieves. How true it is that a pathway away from God always leads to sin. And sin is a robber. It robs us of all that is decent, robs us of everything worthwhile. We read that he was stripped. Every covering that he had made to cover himself, you might say, for his security and his comfort is gone. And next we read that he was wounded and left half dead. He was rendered absolutely helpless. He could not defend himself. He was left to the mercy of others. Now in this, we want to notice the picture that God would give us of ourselves. Do you not see yourself in this picture? First of all, in that he went down, have we not all gone astray like sheep? Have we not turned to our own way? We have. The Bible declares it. And thus we have gone astray to be lost and undone through our own willfulness. Have we not fallen among thieves? Has sin not robbed us? Oh, we have found many times that our sin has found us out. And whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Is not that the experience that we have, every one of us? Indeed it is. And sin's wages we realize. Next, you notice, being stripped, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now tell me, isn't it true? Can you find real peace of conscience in anything that you have achieved or done? For instance, like Adam and Eve in the garden, make fig leaf aprons to cover yourself? Has that given you peace of heart and rest of conscience in regards to your relationship with God? Oh, I trust that everything that you are covering yourself with is stripped from you. This is an experience that God wants you to come to. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. And remember this, that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom you have to do. Yes, indeed, sin has stripped us. But furthermore, this man was wounded and half dead. Do we not in this see our condition, such as the Bible declares, that we are without strength and ungodly? We do. Man is helplessly ruined because of sin. He cannot pick himself up and save himself. He can do nothing to alleviate his condition. He is shut up because of his sin. But now I want you to notice, secondly, in this parable, the Lord brings before us the priest and the Levite. They were the representatives of the law. We read in connection with them, by chance there came down a certain priest that way. That expression, by chance, indicates very definitely and clearly that they were not the appointed ministers for such a condition. The priest and the Levite, which speaks of the law, only reminds us that the law is utterly helpless to undertake for sinful men. In fact, the law was not given to save men. It was given only to show man his ruin, his need. The law is like a mirror which shows us our condition. The Bible tells us that by the law is the knowledge of sin. And this we see in the absolute indifference and the utter unableness of the priest and the Levite to undertake for this certain man. We read that they passed by on the other side. However, thank God, what the law could not do, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and by a sacrifice for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. And this brings us to this point in the parable where the Lord Jesus himself is set forth in parable form as the Good Samaritan. We read in verse 33, a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. This indicates that he is here for a purpose. He has come for this particular need as he journeyed. He himself came where he was, where the certain man was. Oh, how Scripture tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came with the salvation that they needed. We notice that when he saw him, he had compassion on him. How wonderful it is to know that the Lord Jesus sees us and he sees you. He deals with individuals. He is the one that is not willing that any should perish. And so he has come from glory. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up a man amongst men. And he went to the cross of Calvary in order to effect a work for just such as this man. For you, dear listening friend, a sinner, helpless, ruined, and undone, and one who longs, however, for salvation. He, we read, saw him. He sees you. He had compassion on him. He loves you. How wonderfully this is set forth in this parable. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the truth that God wishes you to know. And the blessed Son of God loved you, and he gave himself for you. His compassion has gone out to you. It has led him to the giving of his own life. We read next that he went to him, right where he was. And the Lord Jesus comes to you through his word, by the power of his Spirit. It is by faith that we see him today. And it is by faith that God wants you to realize that Christ, who has finished salvation's work, is willing and ready, right at your hand, to undertake on your behalf. He went to him. He wants to come to you. He bound up his wounds. He desires his blessing. And he has the remedy for the need. Sin has wounded you, but the Lord Jesus has the remedy for your sin. He poured in oil and wine. Undoubtedly, the oil and the wine suggests the power and the blessing of the blood of Christ as administered by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is he who, as the divine person, is in the world to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit of God is he that makes you realize your need. The Spirit of God is he who takes the word. And the Lord Jesus, in speaking of new birth to Nicodemus, says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is a vital thing, dear listening friend, a vital thing to have relationship with God. And God has provided his own self, his Son, and his Spirit to effect this salvation for you. He poured in the oil and the wine. Oh, it is his desire to bring to you what you need. He has given his life. He has shed his blood. He poured it out as a sacrifice for you. And now he is waiting to administer the blessing of his finished work for you, if you will but receive it. Next, you'll notice we read that he set him on his own beast. This man allows this good Samaritan to pick him up, and he puts him on his own beast. The Lord Jesus Christ desires to pick you up, just like the good shepherd went and found that lost sheep. He picked him up and put him on his shoulders and took him home rejoicing. Here is the same thought brought to us with an added feature. Setting him on his own beast indicates that the same Spirit that took Christ through the world, the same power that bore him up as the man Christ Jesus here, is that which he provides for you. It is his strength he gives you, as it is his salvation he imparts. Notice next we read that he brought him to an inn. And there, he said, he took care of him. Oh, he careth for you. Being brought to the inn, however, I believe here, has a very precious thought. For when one is saved, we read in Acts 2, the Lord adds to the church daily those that are being saved. When you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and allow him to pick you up and save you, to heal you of your sin, it is then that he puts you into his church. The inn is a picture of the church. That is the overnight stopping place. In this present age in which the Lord is in heaven, he is sending forth his gospel to call out of the Gentiles, Jew and Gentile alike, everyone who will believe, and baptizes them by one Spirit into the one body. This is the church. Are you a member of that? I believe we have a picture here of this in the Lord taking this man to the inn, and he took care of him. It is in the fellowship of God's people that we receive the ministry that we need, the ministry to sustain us as Christians, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read here that he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. I have no doubt that the host in the inn suggests the presence of the Spirit of God in the church. Oh, how good it is to know that everything needful for the pathway of the Christian is provided. The Spirit of God takes the word. He it is who brings forth ministry that's needed through the various ones, as the members of the body have a distinct function to perform. So each one who is in Christ and in his church has a ministry to offer. And this, as led by the Spirit of God, produces reward. The 2 pence he gives undoubtedly suggests the recompense which the people of God, who by the Spirit are led to minister the word to the people of God, receive. For we read this, that he that waters shall himself likewise be watered. How wonderful it is to know, dear listening friend, should you be a Christian and you've experienced it, that when you speak of the Lord Jesus to others, the precious word that you bring forth is that which waters your own soul as well. It gives you joy. This indeed in itself is recompense even now. But that is not all. The Lord, through the Samaritan, as the type gives us, is saying, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. There is a future incentive laid before each one. The Lord Jesus will reward everyone that is faithful to him when he comes. How complete the picture is then. We have that which begins on the Jericho road with a man that is wounded, stripped, and half dead. And now he is found in the inn, taken care of, and a promise of his care until the Samaritan returns. Our Lord Jesus is coming again. He desires to pick you up, dear listening friend, and he wants you to have the salvation that he offers now. He wants you to have the sure hope now. He wants you to have the blessing now of his provision of peace and blessing and joy that the world cannot give you. You're not going to find any of these blessings that you long for and what all mankind needs in man himself. They are found simply and only in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you ask how you can get this blessing? Oh, I trust that you do. Will you not first of all then see yourself as this certain man that has gone his way from Jerusalem to Jericho? You've been wounded. You've been stripped. You're lying half dead. You're helpless. Oh, cease your strivings to do better, to turn over new leaves. Accept what God says about you, that you are helplessly ruined, that you are like this. This is your picture. Admit it. This is repentance. That's the first thing that God requires, repentance towards him, owning your condition as lost and ruined before him. Own your helplessness to him. Confess it to him. Repent to him. And secondly, allow then the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus, to pick you up. Oh, turn to him. Simply believe that he himself is the one that shed his blood for your sins. He is willing to receive you. He says, him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. He wants to undertake on your behalf. This is putting your faith in him. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what will assure you the blessing that you need.